thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well,
here's John Williams.
I think I already gave you one. And then drag poor Domitee's news out. He's got to do another newscast in just a couple of seconds. So, Lord have mercy. What a beautiful day in Chicago. This is John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Ave. At 1:12 now on WGN Radio, The Bright Side, in an hour and a half, where will you be at 2:40? Tune into this little radio station if you aren't still at that time, because we'll do something that will continue to put you in a good mood, and that is The Bright Side. People call in. You can call in. Tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling. Something big, something small. And we'll all smile together. It's a group hug that works on the radio every single time and a great way to start your weekend. The Bright Side at 2:40. We'll also, in the 2 o'clock hour, is it in the 2 o'clock hour, Elif, visit with the president of the school whose students can't get a game?
Yes.
Yeah. That's just a crazy story. Bob Musikowski will join us, the president of Hope Academy High School on the city's south side. So the Cubs season is over. And with the exception maybe of Casey at the bat, Bart Giamatti, the former Major League Baseball commissioner, once said this about baseball, and today maybe it's apt. There is no great long poem about baseball. It may be that baseball is itself its own great long poem. This occurred to me in the course of my wondering why home plate was not called fourth base. And then it came to me. Why not? Well, meditate on that for a moment. It's called home. Baseball is, of course, entirely about going home. It is the only game you ever heard of where you want to get back to where you started. Other sports are territorial. You want to get to his or her territory, but not baseball. Baseball simply wants to get you from here back around to here. And that, I think, is why baseball is its own long poem, its own endless epic. Baseball breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone. You count on it. You rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive, and then when the days are twilight, when you need it most, baseball stops, said Bart Giamatti. So our season is over. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only one to observe this, but I didn't enjoy the NLDS and I didn't enjoy the NLCS. We won the first. We not only lost the second, but we didn't even play well. And I didn't enjoy a win or a loss among them. It was just too nerve-wracking and exhausting. The season is long, and going through two World Series runs in a row seemed to be more than I personally could handle. Now, if you told me that, hang in there, we'll win and actually repeat as World Series champs, maybe I would have found the energy to do it. But my riding emotion today is, whew, I'm glad it's over. That was fun. They deserve not a ticker tape parade, but our thanks and praise for providing us a lot of enjoyment in the game of baseball. And I can now plan my days and weekends without having to wonder. For instance, last night was my birthday. We were all going to go out to dinner. No, we can't go out to dinner because the game will be on and we don't want to be missing the game. So we didn't do that. I don't know what your weekend plans have been lately, but for a lot of us, they've rotated around what the Cubs are doing. And we certainly don't have to worry about that now, do we? And I don't love any of the teams remaining so much that I'm going to plan my days around them. I'll watch a little. But by the way, the Blackhawks are on radio and TV these days. And we got a guy that does the play-by-play here on WGN pretty well. So I'll be able to segue to that. So farewell. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm WGN King John. I was walking to the Tribune Tower today. And there, high above the sort of Gothic tower that we have here, is a flagpole, and there is the American flag, and as of like 9 o'clock this morning, the Cubs win flag. The W is still flying. I don't know if that was just a sort of salute to the season, because clearly we didn't W last night, but it's a beautiful picture. And my brief thoughts on it there. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm WGN King John. Speaking of beautiful buildings, so just behind me, I'm in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, is the new Apple headquarters. Not headquarters. We want the Amazon headquarters. It's their new store. It's their flagship store. And I'll tell you what, it's a honey. It's a doozy. It's got two trees in it. It's an embarrassment of riches. It is so damn cool, you want to hate it. I walked by it a couple of times, and I have not yet gone in. Yesterday, I sort of lingered, but I wasn't part of the elite crew that was able to go in for the preview. You can come in there today and starting, I think it's open to the public. I was going to say at 5 today, or is it open to the public right now, do you think,
Alex? Yeah, it's at 5.
It's open at 5. Okay. It's open to the public at 5. There was a woman standing out front, and she looked like she had been cast for the commercial, you know, ethnically blended, young but not too young, really hip but also really smart looking with a, I don't know, Judy Jetson type outfit on that had the Apple logo. And I just thought, oh, everything about this thing is gorgeous. And I'm not hating on it. I love my geniuses over there. And this store is, well, what is it? I wasn't able to go in. So you read about it today, right? The Sun-Times said, shiny new Apple. And this is, by the way, just adjacent to WGN Radio. It's right on the river on Michigan Avenue. You probably know where it is. The Sun-Times' Taylor Hart said, the store is almost entirely transparent with the exception of its roof, which resembles an Apple laptop. Floor-to-ceiling windows flow into an outdoor space that leads to the river. Staffed with 250 employees, the new store replaces Apple's first flagship store in Chicago at 679 North Michigan. They closed that on Wednesday. Inside, the two-level store features retail avenues for browsing items where new creative pros will lead sessions and lessons in gaming, coding, music, and photography. The great Blair Kamen, the Pulitzer Prize-winning architecture critic for the Chicago Tribune, said the $27 million store costs a jaw-dropping $1,350 per square foot. And Apple, which has a market capitalization of more than $800 billion, can easily foot that bill. He wrote, it only minimally obstructs the views at 401 North Michigan Avenue, the handsome modernist office high-rise to its east, and the Tribune Tower, the neo-Gothic skyscraper to its north. He said the store's transparency is a wow, blowing away fears that Apple would block visual access to the riverfront. The building's sheets of ultra-clear, low-iron glass, 10 feet wide, and ranging in height from 14 to 32 feet, give new meaning to the word see-through. At the corners, curving sheets of glass make clear that the building isn't just another box. He wrote, the store's interior is equally compelling, not only because of its openness, but also because relatively little of it's devoted to pushing product. At street level, the visitor encounters a genius gallery, a row of bleacher-like seats that overlooks a projection screen on the lower level. At the end of the story, he wrote this, Chicago has a long tradition of privately owned riverfront buildings that provide top-tier architecture and public space. Apple's new store extends and enriches the tradition. The very company that has caused us to stare endlessly into our cell phones is now issuing an invitation to look up and come together in a shared space. More than inside and outside are meeting here, so are the civic and commercial realms. It is the latest twist of the digital age. That's how you get a Pulitzer Prize. You think those thoughts and you write that well. Well done, Blair Kamen. And, you know, I was like yesterday thinking, well, maybe we should talk about the store. I know we'll get the architect on or somebody that works there to come over. And then I thought, well, what are you, some goober, never seen a shiny new store in River City? I mean, come on, it's a store. But Blair says it's more than that. And just as I've passed by it a couple of times, it really is a wow. We said wow for various reasons yesterday when General Kelly spoke. Couple of words and the latest bit of audio from that. And don't worry, we're not going to go down that path today. But there's actually something posted on the front page of CNN right now that I thought was surprising. Now, tell me if you agree in a couple of minutes. I'll refresh the front page of CNN so you won't see it where it was just before we came down to the studio. But on the front, they had the Gold Star Widow's full phone call from President Trump. Hear Gold Star Widow's full phone call from President Trump. And I thought, oh, man, did in fact we have that phone call? You know, the one that Frederica Wilson talked about? That John Kelly was so outraged by, or is this another one? Turns out it's another one. And I thought, well, I don't know that I should listen to that. John Kelly said that should be a sacred thing. I don't want to go down the road of who's politicizing it more, the president or the congresswoman or the widow or whoever, right? It's out there, and we can't put that genie back in the bottle. But John Kelly, I thought, was pretty eloquent yesterday when he spoke. Steve Bertrand played some of that audio for us. I'm just going to replay part of it here. This is what John Kelly said yesterday.
Stuns me that a member of Congress will listen in on that conversation. Absolutely stuns me. And I thought, at least that was sacred. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of things were sacred in our country. Women were sacred and looked upon with great honor. That's obviously not the case anymore, as we see from recent cases. Life, the dignity of life, was sacred. That's gone. Religion, that seems to be gone as well. Gold Star families, I think that left in the convention over the summer. But I just thought the selfless devotion that brings a man or woman to die on the battlefield, I just thought that that might be sacred. And when I listened to this woman and what she was saying and what she was doing on TV, the only thing I could do to collect my thoughts was to go and walk among the finest men and women on this earth. And you can always find them because they're in Arlington National Cemetery. Went over there for an hour and a half, walked among the stones, some of whom I put there because they were doing what I told them to do when they were killed.
That's a profound, and maybe you agree with all of that, maybe you agree with some of that. I always think in John Kelly's case, you have to listen to it not just as a spokesperson for the government, but also the father who will forever have his son's loss on his mind. So if he sees this violation as especially egregious or personal, I get it. I never thought about it before. If the president calls you to say, hey, congratulations, or hey, I'm sorry for your loss, is that a private moment that you can't have on speakerphone? Because these days it's hard to imagine anything is private. And if I want to let my family listen in, and if a family or friend includes a congresswoman, should she not be allowed to hear that? I don't know. I think the problem isn't that somebody listened in. The problem is what they said about the president. This is all about the disagreement about whether or not he disrespected that young man and the family, at least to me. Kelly evidently feels differently. But then there it is on CNN today. You can listen to, now in this case, another call. And I thought, I don't think I should, to be honest with you. I'm hearing what John Kelly said. Maybe on the front page of CNN, you should not be able to click and listen to President Trump console a woman who lost her husband earlier this year. I click through to listen. I'm not going to play you the audio because I think John Kelly has a point. Maybe I shouldn't be broadcasting it, but I did take CNN's bait and listen to it. And there the president talks to a woman who has five children between the ages of 20 and 4, I think it is. And he talks to her without trying to appropriate John Kelly's words. That was his first mistake. And it's a positively lovely conversation. And Donald Trump is charming to her, and he is listening to her, and he's sparing his words. He's letting her do the talking. She talks about how proud she is of her husband, and then she tells the president she has five kids. The oldest is 20, and he has an academic scholarship to the school where he's the starting quarterback. She says Missouri. He's the starting quarterback at Missouri. It's actually not that Missouri. It's Missouri Valley College in Marshall, Missouri, but that's only because I was just double-checking to make sure we had the facts right, the point. The point is, and she's very proud of that, and the president was thrilled. And so they talked about that, how terrific it is that this young man, the oldest son of the soldier who's died, is such a great exemplar, such a great representative of the family. And it was the kind of conversation you'd hoped that these people would receive. And the woman was so respectful of the president, or certainly the presidency. She very much appreciated. And so she's having this phone call on speakerphone while a friend of hers, I guess, is sitting there recording it with their phone. So they were recording this moment for whatever purposes, their own, I'm sure. They were thrilled, or at least honored. And then they shared it with CNN. So I don't know if that was a grave violation or not. I don't know. That's where that story is today. It is 1:31. Men at construction sites, the high school that can't get other schools to play in because they're in a danger zone, and the bright side, all coming up on the John Williams Show. So, Mati, do you remember? This is John Williams at 1:41. I'm in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue here on GN Radio, weekdays 1 to 3. Like me on Twitter. I'm WGN King John. Do you remember the group Men at Work?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good, because you're young, and I didn't know that you would know or appreciate Who Can It Be Now?
I do remember
that. That was Men at Work, I believe. Cool. Okay, well, just, hey, Elif, out of the next break, let's play something by Men at Work. It just dawned on me, because in our studio, Tina Svondelis is the Chicago Sun-Times political reporter, and she has what I think is one of the... You know, every now and then somebody just makes some sort of random observation about life on Earth, and you go, oh, my God, that is so true. And then you sort of start to appreciate just that notion, and then you see it everywhere.
And I'm embarrassed at its accuracy, by the way.
What do you mean?
I do the exact same thing.
The men at work,
yes.
Construction sites, men
yes.
at construction sites. Tina, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. How are you doing?
So I know you know a lot about politics. We see you on TV. We read you in the Sun Times. But you've been now doing what?
I've been taking pictures of men watching the Wolf Point construction right off the Franklin Street Bridge. I kind of go to lunch with my sister a lot because I love her and she works on my floor. And on our way back, I always see people. I always see men specifically
watching.
Staring at this construction project.
And what was your first reaction to that when you noticed that?
We notice it every day, and we both of us, my sister and I, we said we should do an Instagram page or see if other people see this. And then I just decided to do the tweets, and it just kept building.
So now I don't know how much action you get on your political stuff, but a lot of us can't wait to see your next picture of men at construction sites.
Yeah, it's a natural process. I'm not trying to force it, so I only do it when I see it. Like, I won't wait at the bridge and wait for guys. I have to organically see it happen.
So then you didn't watch the people watching the Apple Store go up behind us, but we would stand there and watch that too?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is it only men that do this?
Honestly, I've seen one woman once organically when I'm passing by, but otherwise it's all men.
And what were they looking at that Wolf Point construction site?
There's a giant building going up there. It's really interesting. There's a big drill. I mean, I think people love to see that sort of thing.
God, yes.
Men specifically like to see that sort of thing. Whenever there's giant drill noises, there's more men looking at the project. And lately, there's a lot of guys looking through the gates. So there is an area that is gated that's not part of that bridge.
I don't know why they make it difficult for us to watch. They put that fabric up across the fence, and then it's hard for us to see.
It's a liability issue, but... That's what
Seriously,
it is.
That's what it is?
Mm-hmm.
What, do they think I'm going to get hurt by some flying debris?
Not you, that you will witness something.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well, if I'm a construction worker, I don't know that I love that fact. I want everybody to see what happened. I want witnesses! That's all beside the point. So are you attracted to construction sites or big machines?
Not at all.
I mean, seriously, as a woman, though, does that not... You don't think that's just, like, so awesome?
It's not my cup of tea, but I know a lot of women who are interested in it. I just had a conversation with a friend earlier today who said she saw a giant wrecking ball yesterday in Wicker Park, and she was staring. Or she stopped at it for about 5 minutes. So it's not specifically just men. It's just what I've seen at this site.
So now I think Domati and I, and I don't know if Sam feels the same way, but those of us who, we get it. We get it instantly, and we don't even think about it. I think it's, I don't know if it's in the base of our brains, you know, the reptilian part of our mind, or if it's in men's DNA more than women's?
I've gotten some comments on Twitter of people saying that it's guys who never outgrew the Tonka days of, like, playing with trucks when you were a kid. That's why I thought it was sweet. I think it's, like, an endearing thing to see. I don't think I'm mocking them. I think that it's just a snapshot of them maybe not outgrowing that
part. Is there an equivalent? I wonder what the opposite would be.
Oh, I can tell you about a Twitter person that told me that it's, like, women picking nail polish at CVS. And personally, I do not stare at nail polishes at CVS.
Yeah, I guess so. But women also almost exclusively wear nail polish, where everybody has access to. I mean, I'm not sure that that's a perfect comparison.
Exactly.
It has to be something that women like to watch, see, or do that's not intrinsic to them being female.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I'm just a passerby. I'm only watching that because I think it's awesome. I like the big trucks. I like the digging. You know what's really fun to do is watch a really skilled backhoe operator putting the scoop of stuff into the truck and then going back and getting some more. That's actually a talent. I like the cranes that are on top of buildings and when they're lifting things up and bringing them around. There's a lot of engineering, and I don't know. It looks like fun.
It's amazing. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's a giant building. We're watching a giant building going up. There is a Seinfeld reference, by the way, that I discovered yesterday, in which he talks about men at construction staring at construction sites as if it's like a dog whistle. A dog whistle blows them over to the site, and they have to stare at it. Two people sent that to me, and I had not seen that. So there is
either.
Some sort of attraction there.
Let's pick up some phone lines for men. Actually, I think this is Jean, so I'm assuming this is a female. Hi, you're on WGN. Jean, you're on the air.
I think men are funny and very entertaining, and you most of all. And I was telling Ella that it will blow your mind when you if you have a grandson. Because you take for granted the things you're attracted to. And women don't think about the things that little boys are attracted to unless they have one in their presence. And the attraction of a male from birth to anything that is moving with a wheel. Construction.
Garbage trucks. Garbage trucks. My son, Brenda, used to, on garbage day, Grant knew it was garbage day, and they would go wait for the garbage truck to come and go. Do you have children? Do you have any sons?
I do not, no.
Someday you will be standing there with a little guy in your hand. Maybe, maybe not, but this is what, and it's a joy. Here comes the garbage truck. Oh, look at that. It's picking the thing up, and then you wave to the guy, and that was part of their week. That was a big day, garbage day.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
It made me think, too, what did little boys care about before the invention of the wheel?
Well, now there's a big thought. Gene, thank you for the call. From you, we go to Rich. You're on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hello.
Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
I've discovered that webcams, especially Earth cams, has either cameras focused on the construction site, or you can go out to the site and see the time-lapse of a full build of, like, the Mercedes Stadium in Georgia, the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, the Minneapolis Stadium.
Yeah, I watched a lot of the – you know, I just moved here. Thank you for the call, Rich, from Minneapolis. And that was a great thing to watch the Vikings football – a brand-new modern football stadium go up in which you could put two of the old Metrodomes, or it has that big of a footprint. And they had this similar thing. They had the tarp around the fence. And I talked to the foreman of that project one day, and I said, why don't you put up bleachers? Because everybody's craning for a look. We're crowding into the street trying to get a good view. You could sell tickets to watching them build a thing.
Right.
He was not interested, and I think you've also told me why now.
There's other views that are not blocked off that are near the towers over there, and people sit on benches as well. So there's a big viewing area over there.
Antonio, this is John. You're on WGN. Hi, Antonio. You're on the air.
Hey there. So, I know exactly what she's talking about. I like watching the cranes. They have like 20 tires, and they're enormous.
Yeah.
There's this guy like on the end, and these things have like a boom that goes up like 50 feet.
Yes.
And they have these huge metal beams. But even better than that, go to a metal scrapyard. They have these huge, it looks like a crane at the end. It's got a big, it looks like metal scissors. And they have hydraulic clips on them, so they get like car frames and they split them in half.
I want to see that.
That's pretty good. I would watch that.
And then it goes up and it goes in this thing and it shreds them like paper. I've taken my nephews to go see that, and we're sitting there for like 20 minutes just watching it.
What a great uncle Antonio is. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Matt, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
I was going to work in the summer, and I saw them cutting down this huge tree. And I go, oh, my gosh, my daughters would love this. I ran in the house. I grabbed them all. They all went in but me. I went, oh, I'm the only one who cares.
Sorry about that, my friend. Sue, this is John. You're on WGN. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, I'm a woman, and I love to see things being built. I find it very, very fascinating. And one time there was an empty lot where I grew up, my childhood home, and somebody bought it, and they built the house. I said, do you mind if I take pictures of the progress? And they're like, no, that's fine. And I find it fascinating to see the process.
I think we're on the same page with you on that. And to your point, it's not exclusively men. Anybody can watch, but guys do seem to be more naturally attractive.
Yes. I've seen people eat lunch there. I see like a giant water bottle sandwich open. I see a lot of guys that look like my dad, like kind of whitewashed jeans with white Converse shoes. So it's a variety of people over there.
Tina Svondelis is a Chicago Sun-Times political reporter. Folks love her for her observations and reporting on politics in the state. But obviously, she's got an eye for more than just that. So if I want to follow you on Twitter, how do I do that?
I am at Tina Svon. So T-I-N-A-S-F-O-N.
Tina Svondelis, Tina Svon on Twitter. And she's up to 16 now.
That's right.
Keep up the good work,
Thank
Tina.
You.
I don't know what in both. All of our phone lines are busy. We are completely out of time. Thanks for joining us. And visit with us again, okay? This is WGN. Sam Panionovich, WGN Radio Sports, is in the studio. Your personal headline on the Chicago Cubs this season.
The long and winding road, right? I mean, it's a heck of a journey. And there were a lot of people that, you know, were complaining on the way out yesterday. And you talk to fans as they leave in the fourth inning, fifth inning, when it gets out of control. If you took a step back and I told you in 2014 this team would go to the NLCS 4 years in a row and win a World Series, what would you say?
We'd all take that.
You 100%.
Who would?
100 million percent.
Yankees fans would take that. Giants fans would take that.
They just looked fatigued mentally, physically.
And the fans are too. Honestly, Sam, are you glad it's over? I'm glad it's over. I mean, I'd rather have won, but to be honest with you, I didn't even enjoy the NLDS.
Really?
That was exhausting. We didn't play that great. We just got by the skin of our teeth. It was a bad call in Game 5, you ask me. So I'm just glad I'm glad we had what we had. I'm glad it's over. Let's win it next year. We'll do like the Giants and win it every other year.
Theo told you, he told you fans, that they would have a spin at the wheel every year. And ever since all these prospects started coming up, and now some of these prospects have turned into other players like Quintana, they've made the big splashes, Lester, Jason Hayward. He's done everything he said he was going to do. He brought you a championship. He's got you to the postseason. They've made deep runs.
Yeah.
You can't win it every year. There's a reason it hasn't happened since 2000.
You know what I also don't like, and we did this last year, but it worked out. I don't like being mad at the manager all the time. I don't be all of this second-guessing him. What, is he crazy?
You didn't like him taking Arrieta out.
No, I didn't like it. Did anybody like how he handled any of the pitchers for any of the games in the last 2 years? But it worked last year. I don't like being mad at Brizzo. These are my guys, but we were so angered, disappointed, you know? So I'm done with them.
They couldn't score runs. That's why they lost.
Talk to me about the NFL. You pick 5 games a week, right?
Yeah, the Odd Shark team. We're in the Westgate Super Contest right now. In the top 9%, we pick 5 every week. You know I'm picking the Bears this week.
Over?
Carolina, at home.
You like us. How many points are we giving?
+3.
All right.
And everybody's taking Carolina. Their middle linebacker, Luke Kuechly, probably not going to play. He's going through concussion protocol. It's important when you don't have your middle linebacker.
Are you going to ever pick the Packers again?
I'm taking the Packers this week.
You know they've got an injured quarterback.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been in all the papers. You should look into that before you make these bets, fella.
I like Brett Hundley. He's the all-time leading passer at UCLA. Did you know that?
So the Packers? No, I don't.
They have enough talent around the quarterback. I think, you know, there's a substantial drop-off, of course. Nobody's going to want to take the Packers. You know how I roll, man. We're going au contraire. We take the teams nobody
really
wants
are.
To take. By the way, if I ever take the Browns again,
I will intervene.
Kick me in the junk.
So Bears win, Packers win. Give me 3 other games to bet on this weekend.
I'm looking at the Falcons +3.5. That's
Got
a
it.
Rematch of the Super Bowl.
Falcons, yes.
They had their hearts ripped out against New England. They go into Foxborough. I like them to cover and keep it close. I'm going back to the Redskins, my squad. I do like Washington.
All year long.
On Monday night, they're getting 4.5. I like them. And I'm torn on the last one. Minnesota at home against Baltimore.
Vikings are up and down, aren't they?
Really good defense, but a lot of injuries on offense. And I like points. I don't like laying points. Minnesota's favored by 5. I can either do that, or I can take San Francisco. They're terrible. They haven't won a game yet this year, but they cover. They keep things close. They're getting 6 at home against Dallas.
Okay, I'll take that game.
You want San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the first time I've weighed in on one of these things. I feel really nervous
well,
now.
Well, I'm going to do it. So that's official. So we got the Packers, 49ers, Bears, Falcons, Redskins.
Okay.
Those are our five.
I'll talk to you on Monday, my friend. Thanks for coming by.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Look at that.
Here's John Williams.
There's another one. I'm sitting in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, and people walking around with their LA Dodgers jerseys, and a lot of SC Maroon. Southern Cal is in town. They want to beat Notre Dame. At least that's what I saw on a button that walked by me this morning. So the Southern Californiites must be really happy. They are hopeful they're going to beat Notre Dame, and they are enjoying having beaten the Cubs, and they're all walking around here like, we're the greatest thing ever. Actually, they seem like delightful people. It's 210 on WGN Radio. Speaking of sports, there's the story today, and I guess it's not a brand new story, but it is getting more and more attention each weekend of what's been going on at Hope Academy High School. There have been shootings in their neighborhood, and most recently some quite near the football field. As a result, other schools are deciding not to play their away games scheduled to be at Hope Academy. They don't want to put their kids in harm's way. The president of that school has had some very particular things to say about that. His name is Bob Musikowski, and he joins us now on WGN Radio. Bob, it's John, and you're on the air. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Hey, John. Thanks for having us.
Where exactly is your school located?
So we're on the west side, a mile and a half west of the United Center.
Mile and a half west of the United Center. How far north of the Eisenhower?
We're right on the Eisenhower, on the south side of the Eisenhower.
Okay, so what's your exit if I'm heading one way or another?
You would get off Western.
Western, yeah. Well, I'm sorry about all of this. I mean, the football games are almost beside the point. First, I'm sorry that, you know, the kids are in an environment that at least other people deem not safe. Talk a little bit about that. How safe or unsafe is the school or the football field?
So in perspective, obviously you could be at a concert in Las Vegas and have become incredibly deadly, right? So, but we've never had a problem before at the field. And a few weeks ago, there was a shooting down the street, not over the field. Nobody was in danger. It's horrible to say. And again, the emphasis should be on the gutless cowards who are pulling the trigger, right? It's not Hope's fault or these other schools' fault. But we hadn't had it before in 13 years, and now we have massive guarantees of safety from the police commander, the mayor's office, and ourselves. So, I mean, so it's probably be one of the safest places in Chicago because that happened. So, anyway, beautiful field. We built incredible facility there. So our gym and field is as nice as anybody's in the suburbs.
Hope Academy, is this a public school or private school?
You know, independent Christian school for predominantly low-income kids.
How many kids go to the school?
240, high school.
Who or how many games have you had scheduled this year so far?
So we're 9 games like everybody else. We've been 9-2 the last 3 years and joined the Catholic League this year.
9-2.
Yeah.
And then nine. But now you're playing who? So you're playing Marion Catholic or Joliet Catholic? You're not playing Providence?
We played Providence Catholic. Give us a good looking. Great people, wonderful people. we beat Leo. We beat St. Joe's. We beat St. Ed's. And, you know, we're a small school, and there's two levels in the Catholic front. We're understanding that. You got the Mount Carmels and Ritas and, yeah, and the real strong teams, and then the league. But we hold our own. We compete with, not against. We really pride ourselves on feeding the team after the game and hanging out together and really try to make it a lot more about camaraderie than football.
Talk about your kids. Tell me about the young men that play for – you're not the coach or the president of the school, but tell me about the kids on the team and tell me about their families and, you know, the population there.
Yeah, so we're predominantly minority school, Latino, African-American, probably about 15% white and Asian. I have 7 children. All my children went to Chicago. I have 6 graduating, and I have a sophomore there. So I've also been legal guardian for 4 other African-American boys, and they all went to Hope and graduated. So we're all in with this, right? We bought a closed Catholic school 14 years ago, St. Callistus, and reopened it. So a lot of the students are low income, almost all of them. So we're an independent school for mostly poor kids, but our graduates have gone on to Columbia, Brown, Notre Dame, last year's valedictorians at Princeton. So academically, we feel we're as strong as the other schools. We're small classrooms, 12 in a class, a lot of focus, and unapologetically Christian school. So the kids don't have to believe anything to come, but we have chapel, and our staff are really serious about that.
Yeah. What percentage of them are on free or reduced lunch program? I mean, sometimes that's an arbiter of sort of the economic well-being of the student body.
Yeah, I'd say 80% of the kids are low income. We canceled that free and reduced lunch thing because we have some really hardworking moms that work two jobs, and so they didn't qualify, and we had some people who don't do much, and they did get free lunch, so we canceled it on principle, and which was costly. And then standard market, we get our food benevolently given from a big grocery store that kind of takes care of us. So we're eating better, and we're not doing it on the government's
net. So you said you had nine games on the schedule. What are we, week four this right now, or five?
This is week nine. We start in August.
How many games did you have scheduled at home, and how many games were you able to play at home this year?
Well, after these two, so we're playing we played three out of five at home.
We played
three times at home, and with these two games, last two were forfeited, so.
Do you blame the other parents or school administrators for their fear of putting these kids in harm's way?
No, I'm not blaming them. I would like to think that we had an opportunity to do something great together. They have the right to think anyway. They think, fine, they're good people, right? I'm not judging anyone's character, but I just think, given the situation and the statements of purpose of the schools, we had an opportunity to really come together and do something great on the anti-violence thing. There wouldn't be nothing. We've never had anything before, and the shooting was a block away. So, if there were a problem at this town where we visited, like even though there's a lot of hazing, we would still go to Wheaton. That's a joke. As people of faith, we go to stand together. It was little to do with football with those who are having a problem where they are.
So I know that, but I'm going to quote you to you, at least according to, I think, Channel 7. You said, if the Lord of the universe comes down here and gets nailed to a cross and beaten to death, the least you could do is come down and play football on the west side.
Yeah, I think that.
That's pretty good.
I'm not judging their character, but that action.
I know that, but I mean, if I may be asking the wrong person this question, but if the roles were reversed, I mean, you're used to at least the perception of violence or danger on the west side, and people in Hinsdale or Naperville are not. So I think so if you were them, would, you know, God forbid something happened, but if something did, they would say, what, were you crazy? Why were you going there? Don't you read the newspaper?
That's that playing it safe for Jesus thing that we've gone right? Come on. 152 Catholic schools have closed in Chicago since 1975. When the urban poor were white, the Irish, the Italians, the Germans, the Catholic schools saved us by the millions. And it worked, and everybody went golfing and forgot where they're from. So it isn't just that we've copped out. We've abandoned the city, right, and let the gangsters have their freedom. And frankly, what needs to happen is the mayor needs to cut the police department loose. Right. So because all the cops we know are great. They're great people. They're working really hard and they've been handcuffed. And that has resulted in more violence. But for us, what are we going to do? Leave? I can move to Winnetka next week. Right. So we're not going to do that. We need to try to save our city here. Right. So in this situation, there's going to be cops all over the place, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. It's up to the other teams. I understand their perception of this with all the stuff that people put out in the television and all the bad news stories and hardly any good news stories, right? But we're standing here. You know, our school is growing. We're packed out. We're growing onto another campus. We just bought some land.
Let me ask you this.
We're full speed ahead here.
Bob Musikowski's on the phone. He is the president of Hope Academy High School on the west side, not that far from the United Center. And their last two games of the football season canceled, including one, which is the homecoming game, because the teams on the schedule said, we don't feel it's safe to come to Hope to play a football game. And that's a shame. Are the games at night, is it possible to play them during the day or at a neutral site just so the game could be played? Are you interested in that?
No, we're playing as scheduled, right? We're playing as scheduled. It's the right thing to do.
I mean, no compromise on
guaranteeing
that.
The police commander guaranteed safety at the field.
You said a moment ago we've copped out when it comes to
as a country.
So you and then you spoke about how we need to give the police more power to do what they need to do. I'm a little surprised that you don't seem to be a little more agitated, and you don't need to be, but I thought this is where the conversation would go. I'm a little surprised you're not more agitated at those other schools, because here your kids are living and studying and playing every day there, and these other kids are afraid to get on a bus and come there for 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the kids aren't. The kids would definitely play the game, right? And the coaches, I think, would play the game. So it was over their head. The decision has nothing to do with the players. The players at Bishop Mack and Wheaton St. Francis would have played the game. So you got that, right?
Yeah, okay.
But so just remember in high school, you're game 8 or game 7 or game 9, you're playing that game. But if you think, like, who marched, if you could have it back 20 years from now and you look back on it and you had a chance to stand together with your brothers and sisters in Christ on the West Side, knowing that the police commander is guaranteed. No one can guarantee anyone's safety anywhere, but he's did that. I mean, there's a squad car in every corner. I mean, and knowing that you had a chance to do that together and not do it. It's like when you look back on it, when you see people marching, white people marching with Martin Luther King, and other people were afraid to do it, and that was about 100 times more dangerous, right? And choose not to do it now, and then say in our in our mission statement that we're for freedom and we're for loving one another and standing for Christ. I don't know. Right?
You know,
but again, the fault is with the shooters, right? The bad guys, the fatherless guys. What's the most cowardly thing you could do? Drive by and shoot somebody in a car and drive away. How about the old days? You walk up and had to punch somebody, right? He might hit you back.
You know what I wonder?
The older gangbangers, they think they're ashamed and embarrassed and think this is a disgrace.
even the older gangbangers are embarrassed by this. Here's my question for you. I got to take a break, Bob, but just come back and answer this for me. And if you have a question for Bob or an observation, the number is 312-981-7200. I'd love for you to get in on this conversation as well. But I wonder what the impact is on the kids. I mean, high school is tough enough as it is, and maybe they come from challenged environments. I wonder what it must feel like for those kids to go, wow, our environment is so bad that other kids won't get on a bus and come here to play us. I wonder if that doesn't sort of reinforce to them the very thing that you're trying to fight. Talk to me about that. And you've got a question for our guests, too. Now's your chance to call. We're visiting with Bob Musikowski. He is the president of Hope Academy High School. Their last two games of this season canceled because the other schools are fearful of going to a school on the West Side. That's where he joins us on WGN. Bob, I've got some calls and a lot of texts I want to run by you, but just give me your quick reaction to what have the kids been thinking or saying about the fact that other schools won't go there?
Yeah, so the kids are saddened by that, but they're pretty resilient. So they're practicing as planned. We're actually scrimmaging the Chicago Lions Rugby Club tonight. So, they're the best club in the Midwest, and we share space with them, and they are kind of adopted us. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, won't that be unfair? Your guys will have helmets, and rugby players don't?
We're playing without no helmets.
All right. That'll change the game a little bit. What a good idea. Hey, John, one of the schools forfeiting was Kankakee. There have been plenty of shootings going on in Kankakee. It's so strange they would not go to Chicago. This one says, we love playing at Hope. The turf is perfect for softball, from Luther North. John, the high school president, what he's saying is right. If they don't go and play the games at home, then the bad guys win. I guess you agree with that. That was your reason for not even wanting to schedule them to a more perceived safe time or place. You want it as it is on the schedule or nothing at all, right?
Correct. It's scheduled a year in advance.
I want to pick up a couple of phone lines real quick. I'm looking to my producer, Olive. Can I do this the way we normally do? Okay. So, Ted, you're on WGN. Go right ahead.
Hey, yeah. So I drive right by that field every day, and when there was a game there, the couple of times I've driven by, it's dangerous because the buses are right out there on the street and traffic's just flying by. There's a shelter over there where there's a bunch of vagrant people just out on the street constantly. And like, I'm talking like 50, 60 people at least. Sometimes
sure.
It's up into the hundreds.
Sure. Second biggest shelter in Chicago.
And so, I mean, like, this is not a good, safe area for people to be out and walking around. So I don't know how you would expect their families to come watch them and to be in that neighborhood. Like, it is an extremely dangerous neighborhood.
Okay, so I've lived in a neighborhood for the last 25 years. The homeless people are the most docile people, and we actually feed them hot dogs and are actually kind to the homeless people. I don't know if that's like something you wouldn't do. So they're incredibly, there's people out there that look like your mom. There's older people. It's really sad. And we're there for a game. We have
come in and be in that neighborhood.
I live in that neighborhood. I built the park.
Yeah, and I lived in Little Village for the past 10 years. So, okay, like, I've lived in...
We would play in Little Village every night.
Every night. Yeah. It's a really bad area of the city. I wouldn't blame anybody for not wanting their kids to go spend a minute in
All right,
that
Ted,
area.
We got you. Ted, okay, I'm going to let him respond. Thank you for the call.
Our kids should be there, right?
I understand... You may not like it, and it might not even be accurate, but it's sort of like that first texter, Bob. It says here, it's weird that the kids from Kankakee wouldn't want to come to Chicago. If your neighborhood is as dangerous or safe as parts of Kankakee, it's beside the point. People have this perception, and I can understand. I'm not shocked that some people would be intimidated by finding a place to park, walking through the neighborhood, and going to watch a football game. You can appreciate that, right?
Yeah, we have parking for 300 cars, so there's plenty of parking in the lot by the gym. Yeah. And there's security monitoring the parking, so that's good. And the fact that it's just, the good gentleman kind of said it all. There's a homeless shelter nearby. Do we want to teach our children not to be around homeless people or not to help them out? Is that what we're all about?
I think a couple of listeners are wondering, and we're out of time, guys. So if Paula, you make the question short, and Bob, you make the answer short, we can address this. Paula, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Yes, I used to teach at Senn High School. I saw a lot of racial integration and problems and solving. I commend you, Bob. Keep up with academically what you can do with these kids. What do you mean by turning the cops loose? And is Mayor Rahm Emanuel interfering in some kind of way in your estimation?
Okay, thank you for that. And what did you mean by turning the cops loose?
The mayor's doing the best he can, but the cops have kind of been handcuffed by the politically correct thing because of a handful of bad cops where they can't arrest people and be more aggressive in their policing. So, and that has resulted in it getting worse, and everybody says that and knows it.
Bobby,
it would be better to let the police department do their job.
Bob Musikowski is the president of Hope Academy High School. Bob, you're fascinating to talk to. Keep doing the good work and fighting the good fight you're fighting over there, and let you and I visit on the radio again sometime soon.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining us. Domitee, you could interview Marcia from our sales department. She just got back from the new Apple store.
What did you see?
Well, Domitee, there were tall, shiny, clean glass windows that you can totally
clean glass.
See.
This
it
is,
was clean.
This is
not
a mother
a
of
spot.
This is a mother of children. She sees these.
I noticed
gigantic.
These
the whole store is translucent or apparent. Like you can see into or through the store, right?
Yeah, right to the riverfront.
And all you saw was wow, no smudges.
No smudges.
No
yeah.
fingerprints. That's the first thing she
notices. So I said, "Did you go into the store? What is it like inside the store?"
Well, there's a line to get inside the store. It's a long line, so I didn't get a chance to go inside. But you can see everything from outside, though. And it's nice. It's really nice. They have a large monitor with a screen that just out of this world.
Enormous and
enormous.
Liquid clear. $27 million it cost them to build that store. And there's a line to get in. There's something wrong. This is why they hate us. We have a $27 million store that is going to overcharge you for these magical devices, and there's a line to get in to give them your money.
That is kind of odd when you think about it.
I mean, right. Like, if I was running that store, I would find a way to get that line moving. Let's get people in. Let's get those wallets in the door.
Now, they're saying they want this place to be like a meeting place, people where they gather, talk, and kind of like a hangout. Marsha,
yeah.
could you see from outside if they had, like, chairs or an
area?
Oh,
yeah. They have, like, these crates in there that you can sit at. They have benches. They have stairs you can sit. You can be on the outside or the inside. So, if it's cold out, you can probably stay warm with your friends and have a cup of coffee or something.
I've heard that too, Domitee. They want to make it like a community gathering space, and they have this for arts, for education, for music. They put up a stage outside that looks like that could be dropped in the middle of Soldier Field.
Wow.
I mean, it's like a concert-ready stage. you know, where they have that little box halfway into the crowd that's projecting lights and controlling the sound booth, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Out it's here amazing. In Pioneer Court. It's amazing. So I'm like, who, Marcia, is going to be performing there?
It's a secret.
You are the worst reporter we have ever had.
No, you know, the good news is there's a secret and no one has leaked it.
Okay, so that's our breaking news. That's our lead. That's all you've got for me, girl?
The first news break that was not leaked.
That's right. That's right. We can champion. That's something we can all rally around, that somebody was able to keep a secret. And lo and behold, it's the Apple Store. But they got something that's going to go on, I think, tonight.
Yeah, starting at 5.
At 5. They've got a hoo-ha going on. So Roe and Anna will be probably listening in on that in a little bit. But I don't think it's going to be the Rolling Stones. I thought I saw the name of the band in a promotional blast they sent out, but I didn't recognize it. So it may be a band that's not a household name, but the setup they have there would accommodate a big one, that's for sure. Okay, so you're here to help us read the text for The Bright Side. Am I correct?
That's correct.
You can text. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want your Bright Side phone calls and texts. Call or text to 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. On Fridays, we like to hear some good news, private little things that are making you smile. And we'll get to that in just a minute. We also like to, on Fridays, before we break for that, just give you a suggestion of some things that are going on in the city. They are doing a Halloween-style parade tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on Columbus Avenue. Think somewhere downtown by the Art Institute. And it'll be Halloween costumes and scary monsters and creative creatures from 6 to 8 o'clock. I've seen the pictures of some of the participants. It looks really fun and bizarre, and that is downtown. Amazing Acro Cats Cuddle at the Vitam Theater. It's an acrobatic and rock show done by cats tonight and Sunday night at 7:30. That's at the Vitam Theater, and that's all I know about it. Of course, the new Apple Store's grand opening is at 5. You'll hear more about that. Halloween at Navy Pier is tomorrow and tomorrow and next Saturday, so Halloween in advance, but you can find out more about that on their website. And Noir is a Casino Royale masquerade at the Hilton Chicago Oak Brook Hills Resort and Conference Center tomorrow at 7 o'clock. For $59, experience elegance and drama surrounded by casino tables, aerialist performers, Bond-themed music, cocktails, and hors d'oeuvres. Okay, we have 4 phone lines open, and the rest are all full. You can call right now, 312-981-7200, or text to us your Bright Side. That's our Bright Side.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
Got a couple phone lines open.
Other things just make you swear
and
curse.
Which means we've got a lot of calls.
When you're chewing on life's gristle,
you can always text.
That grumble.
Remember, the number's 312-981-7200. We call this segment The Bright Side.
Always look on the bright side of life.
I can't, you know, our cameras are down, so I don't know who's in the newsroom. Who's in the newsroom?
Still me.
Hey, Domati, what's your bright side? Give me some good news in Domati Pongo's world.
You and my sister share a birthday. My eldest sister, her birthday was yesterday, so a big happy birthday to both King John Williams and Dr. Nunya Pongo Irvin.
I'll make my birthday my bright side from yesterday because my family all gathered around, and it was nice to be in their company. My son Griffin made a song for me, which he knows I love. He records little songs for special occasions for Brenda and I, and I got a new Griffin song for my birthday. That was my bright side. Marcia, do you have a bright side personally?
I do. Actually, because Domati's in the newsroom today.
That's your bright side?
That's one.
That's legit. I endorse it.
We never judge other people's happiness. It's the only rule of the bright side. I just didn't know if you were done being happy. Okay, so Marcia Lyle, our sales assistant's bright side is that Domati is working today.
Yeah, Domati's. He's so fun.
And he's a handsome fella, too, I might add.
Oh, you guys. Shucks.
I know that wasn't lost on you, Marcia. All right, here comes some bright sides. Let's pick up some phone lines. And, Marcia, we invite you to come down on Fridays and read the text as well. We'll start with a couple phone calls, and that's Karen. You go first. You're on WGN. Hi, Karen.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's your bright side?
My bright side is my son Quinn and his wife Megan are expecting their first child in February.
Oh, wow. Do we have a name yet? Do we know? Boy, girl, any of that?
It's a girl, and it's our first grandchild.
Oh, I hear. I haven't been there yet, but I hear that's a wonderful thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Karen. And on line number, let's see here. Who's next? Hey, Tom, it's John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Chad, I spent a couple hours at the Bill and Wendy show this morning. It was so enjoyable. So,
your bright side is you saw Bill and Wendy on remote today.
No, I was there at the tree can place.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you were able to check them out. Thanks for the call. How about
enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow.
Nancy, this is John. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. My bright side is that my daughter just had surgery today, and it went beautifully.
Oh, whew. We live in amazing times. I'm glad you've got good news, my friend.
Thank you.
How about Jan, you're on Ann, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, we just found out my daughter got into Illinois State.
Ah, that's, you know, that,
bird.
That is.
So excited.
Yeah. Kevin, how much fun is she going to have at ISU?
She will have the time of her life. I absolutely love it there. It's homecoming this weekend. Let's get a victory, birds.
Yay.
Any chance she'll get an education too, Kevin? I don't know if.
Yes, of course.
Exactly what the mom was hoping to hear.
Of course you will.
Marcia, any bright sides on our text line?
Oh, yeah, from the 815 area code. John, my bright side is my son passed the bar exam, and he got a job.
Nice,
third
nice.
Third-generation John Marshall grad. Hello, Bertrand.
Now let's give us another one.
All right. Hello, my bright side is it's 2:45 p.m., and your show is sounding amazing. That is from the 219 area code.
Hey, Denise, this is John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today?
Hi, our son is coming home Sunday from Washington, D.C. After being there for 8 years, 4 years at American University and 4 years working. He was promoted, and he's opening his company's first restaurant in the Chicago market.
Oh, no kidding. What's the restaurant? I'll go there. What is it?
It's called Taylor Gourmet, and it's located at 1 North Dearborn. And the opening date is possibly November 6th, but there's no set date yet. They're still hiring. If you go in, John, you ask for my son, Paul. He will take care of you.
How about that? It's 2:53. Our best to him. Thanks, Denise. Nice to have the kids close to home. Give us another texture there, Marcia.
Area code 773. Found out I was losing my job, and by the end of the same day, had another job offer.
Barbara, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side? Oh, hey, hold on. Hit the wrong button. Hey, Marcia, this is Barbara, this is John. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. My bright side is that my first and only grandchild will be baptized tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations. Do you say congratulations? Whatever it is you say, I'm happy for y'all.
Thank you.
Speaking of ceremonies with the little kids. Well, they're not little kids. Natalie, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
My bright side, John, is my youngest grandchild is going to be bar mitzvah tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big day, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and we're all excited.
And nice weather for it, too, huh?
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Natalie. What else you got there, Mark?
847 area code. We celebrated my husband, get this, John. 65th birthday yesterday, John.
Whoop, whoop,
so
whoop,
happy
whoop.
Birthday to you as well, King.
Lots of Johns celebrate birthdays this week. This is Kevin. This is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
King John, my bright side is I made it 60 years old today, and happy birthday yesterday to you.
It's nice of you to say. 60. Let's not treat 60 like that's a really difficult to get through place for somebody who's closing in on that. I'd like to think we'd have that sort of enthusiasm for, I don't know, 90, 95, 102. And I'm starting to judge other people's happiness. We never do that. Ted, this is John on line 11. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Ted? You're on the air.
King John, Your Highness, thank you for taking my call. My bright side is whatever question you asked Rahm Emanuel yesterday that he hung up on you. Could you repeat it for us, please?
I know. We were just swimming along, and I was going to start to get, you know, pressing him on some uncomfortable topics, and suddenly we lost our phone connection.
Isn't it amazing? You know, you think maybe he hung up. I don't know how he could reach the phone, the midget. Stay quiet, John. You do good work.
Thank you. Thank you. To be fair to the mayor, and I want to be fair to the mayor because he was kind enough to come on with us. The phone quit in the middle of his answer to one of our questions, and we believe that the technical snafu was on our end, not his. I don't think he's going to run away from me. This is true. You got another?
I do.
Read to me, girl.
Area code 630, 2 years and counting, clear breast cancer.
On line number 5, this is Therese. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Good afternoon, John. I want to let you know that I took my MS medication and did not have the bad reaction. I'm in.
This is the first time you've taken it, is it?
Yes, it is. It's a trial medication. I'm very excited.
And does it seem to be working? Was there like an immediate thing, or you'll have to wait and see?
You have an immediate rush of energy, but then within 6 months, you see definite changes. It's one of the better ones on the market, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, and your first concern was you hope you don't have an adverse reaction and you have to opt out, so you're in,
yes.
Huh? Oh,
wow. I'm in.
Hey, listen, stay in touch, Therese. Let us know how it goes. We wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much, John, and thank you for your show. You are the best.
Yeah. Give me one more, Marsh.
Area code 630 again. Next Wednesday is our last Winfield Farmer Market of season. Stop by for a vendor appreciation day.
I hope that Therese stays in touch. That'll be interesting to see. You hear those commercials on the radio. They say, we're doing a trial. We want you to be part of it. Sounds like she's signed up for one of those things, and it can be most beneficial to those people. She's glad that at least she's not kicked out because she didn't have an adverse reaction. Boy, I hope that goes well. Hey, Marcia, have a nice weekend. Thanks for visiting with us.
Well, thank you, John.
Marcia Lyles from our sales staff helps us out on the bright side. Ro and Ann are right around the corner.
Do we not get to do one, John, even though you invited us earlier to do one?
That's right. You were chiming in, but you didn't actually get us.
I had one, too. I was waiting.
Yeah, we were just waiting up here, John. I mean, you know.
See, I have my camera's down, so I don't need – normally I see you guys. I don't see you guys at all today.
I've been anxiously waiting for you to come to me.
Hey, the Apple.
Hold on a second. So let me get the music out. Here we
Cue
go.
It back up.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
All right, Violetta, you go first.
Well, a lot of singers, musicians actually, on Michigan Avenue today, and I gave a couple of them my dad's business card because he has live music, and hopefully they'll get a job from it.
All right, Kevin, what's your bright side?
I have absolutely nothing scheduled this weekend, and I love it. I'm going to do nothing except watch football and baseball.
You've been very anxious to share that? That's all you've got is that you're going to do nothing?
Yes.
Well, that's...
Doing nothing is awesome sometimes.
I know. I don't judge other people's happiness, and yet that's all I'm doing here. Thank you for that, Kevin. Thank you for that, Violetta.
Well, Kim wants to do it, too.
Say that again?
Kim wants to do one as
well. Hey, Kim, what's
your
bright side?
My sister's visiting from Israel.
Oh, I've talked to her. I know she's a long distance from you guys most of the time. How long is she in town?
She'll be here for about 5 days.
Oh, great. Well, have a great visit.
Thank you.
The news is coming up on WGN. Anna DeVlantis is in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Happy beautiful Friday.
Man, oh, man.
Nice to see so many people celebrating with Bright Side today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to go. Call in sometime, Anna. I'll give you the in-house phone number.
We'll Thank you.
Kind of cheat and cut in line.
I often just celebrate Friday just for the sake of Friday. And sometimes when you have this beautiful weather like this, that's extra. And we have this Apple store opening up right here along Michigan Avenue in the river today. Have you seen a lot of the excitement over there?
I have. I actually went over and peeked in there yesterday. They got two trees in their store. Big trees.
Trees.
I know. The thing is an embarrassment of riches. It's amazing. It's so damn cool.
It's so cool. And the architectural people have weighed in, and they love it, too.
I know. I was glad to see Blair Kamen's review of
you
it.
You see that?
He says it's dynamite.
He says dynamite, and they didn't make it kitschy, the laptop top isn't really a perfect laptop. It's really just more like a flat, really beautiful room.
And that it doesn't block the view. And really, you know, it's so integrated. I don't want to sound like an architect or a critic, because I'm not, but it really does kind of flow then down to the river. It's
stunning.
It's like it's the perfect designed building for that space.
And it kind of gets you even more excited, one more step excited about our river plan and the future for that.
Absolutely.
It adds to the beauty down there that we we know is happening with the restaurants coming back and the river walk being built and reconstructed along different parts of the river, and then some beautiful buildings toward the other west of the river that are being built down into the river as well.
Oh, sure. I don't remember the name of the building, but when you go west on the river and you make that left turn, that big glass curved building that looks like it should fall over at any second now.
It doesn't look like the base is big enough to hold that building.
It looks like they ran out of concrete because it's got this thing that comes up at an angle, and then the building is sort of teetering on it. And I'm like, dude, get a pole. Come on.
But I noticed, I watched that go up because I don't live too far from that, and it looked as if they were spending a great deal of time at the foundation.
Making sure, huh?
So it's exciting.
What are you guys doing today?
Well, we've got a lot going on for a Friday. We've got Michael Steele, former RNC chair, coming in to talk about the latest that's going on in Washington. You saw the Republicans narrowly pass the budget plan today, laying the way for, hopefully, the tax plan to get passed. They're hoping that that will happen soon, and I think Wall Street is hoping that'll happen soon.
I'm all for the market was up like 140 points again.
Isn't it crazy?
Today.
There was that Monday. There was the Black Monday.
1987
marked the 1987 crash, and everyone's like, "Whoa, is this possibly what might cause a little bit of dip in the market?" And it's been going and going and going strongly. So we're going to talk to Susan Schmidt, the financial expert of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, about why that might be, what you should be doing if you've got some money interest in the already invested, or if you're thinking about investing. I think that's the scariest part, isn't it? When you think about putting money in at these levels.
I know.
You're a millennial or you're someone younger and you're saying, hey, I want to start investing.
I know. You're buying them kind of expensively right now. But did you want to get out at 21 and then it's 23? Do you want to get out at 23 and it goes to 26? I don't know. I don't buy stocks. I don't, I just put some money in a thing every month. Mm-hmm. But you'd think, maybe I should talk to somebody. Maybe this would be a good time to put some of it in a place that will be higher than it's going to, if it's going to go down, and you think it's going to, better that you get out now. But I've been saying that at 19, 20, 21, 22, growth I would have not realized.
I certainly didn't predict this, and I don't know who did, but Susan Schmidt, very smart individual, is going to talk about some of the things driving the markets. Also, the search for a new Fed chair, potentially, with Janet Yellen stepping aside in the coming year. And so the president apparently is down to a few candidates on that. Mike Ditka is going to talk about the Bears, all the excitement about Trubisky. Carnival Wagon, of course, is going to roll today. We've got Dannenberger Family Vineyards. They're a local wine-producing family on a farm that's 100 years old. They would produce corn and the soybeans, and then they switched to wine and grapes. And so they're producing some darn good wines. So what can't go wrong?
All right, if I'm in the building, I'll come by at 5 for sure. Have a really good show.